It's been a time of much reflection, hasn't it? We've lost some absolute legends of Australian racing over the past 12 months. We've spoken about the loss this week of the champion stallion Redoute's Choice, but we've had some human losses as well. Most recently, the great racing writer Les Carline. Of course, Mike Willacy, who was a Leviathan owner back in the 80s and 90s and breeder of horses. And of course, Nick Collum, very familiar to our Melbourne audience. We lost last year, of course, in more recent times he was based in Hong Kong working for the Hong Kong Jockey Club. Tony Kavanagh, who is a well-regarded and well-known bloodstock agent and racing expert in Melbourne, joins us on the program this morning to reflect on these great people and also the sense of history that it instills in us about the sport. And I wonder whether we're still preserving that enough. Tony joins us this morning. How are you, Tony?
Good morning, Joe. How are you? I'm very well.
I'm not too bad. Without being too maudlin, it has been a sad time, hasn't it, of late? We've lost some great people.
Quite incredible, and it makes you reflect on one's own mortality. But when you get, and I was very, very close with Nick Collum, who was a close friend and godfather to my son and a major client in the early 80s when I was starting off, a lot of major things we did. And then with Mike Willacy, I sold him Sir Dapper and Magic Fluter went on to be winner Doncaster a few weeks after we bought it. He bought Let's Get Physical off me. I bought it back off him. A lot of things with him. And Les Carline was just amazing. I used to love helping craft stories about the turf. And in the races over the weekend, you've got the Emancipation Stakes. And you know, there were some stories about her that and I sold her to Nick Collum at the end of her days, and I did things with Les about her, and yeah, so it really makes you think. And with the passage of time and with the way the racing industry is going, running parallel with Australia and Australians probably not being as culturally minded as what they should be, I think we lose sight of a lot of the history of the turf. Focusing on the gambling and everything else, but there's such a rich tapestry there. And when these people go to God, and you've got people now in their 90s, Ron Taylor, Jack Styring and whatnot, you know, the amount of knowledge those people have, and if they're not captured properly, it's gone forever. And I don't think the racing industry is really doing enough in capturing that. We have a lot of innovations on racing.com with different programs and whatnot, but there's so much more to do.
The racing industry these days, and having worked at the coalface of race clubs and other bodies, I know it myself, is very forward-thinking and fast-moving, and there's not much time to stop and think too much about the past, what happened last week, let alone last decade or prior to that, last century. But I agree. I think we're losing that sense of history, which is very much what sets the tone for racing long into the future, and these wonderful people and contributors to the sport that almost get, dare I say it, cast aside at a certain age, and yet they have so much insight and intel to share that we could all learn so much from, but also enjoy.
That's right. Well, I think there are some initiatives that could take place. I mean, we really need to set about a program of starting with the older brigade of professional people involved in the racing industry, working way down each decade, and you know, actually capturing that information on the one hand, with, instead of, like I was reading something about Lloyd Williams in the papers where he's talking about Winks and talking about Melbourne Cup things and all that. A journalist needs to talk to him about, you know, when he was a young guy in his 20s and had horses with Noel Kelly and Cautious Sue by Tudor Warning being a stakes winner. Who influenced him? What made set him on the path? You know, learn about those sort of things. So I think there needs to be a whole lot of people interview a major program. But then the other thing is, we are blessed. And I'm an Australian ambassador into my eighth year. I've done a lot of regional Australia Day ambassador duties and last year in Ballarat. And the country people and the industry is the third biggest industry, but some clubs, quite a few clubs, have probably got some collation of their history. But I think there needs to be a program put in place, not merely in Victoria, and Victoria could lead the way with this, as we did. I formed a group called Victory 27 years ago, which changed the direction of racing. But I think we could set down a path where it's mandatory for every race club in the land to have a complete history. But then you deal with the shires, and I work closely with the shires. And, you know, there are so many people and farms and organisations within that a particular shire that have had a major connection with racing. So by doing that, you're also embellishing how valuable the racing industry is to the wider community. As we say, the third biggest industry. So there are some programs like that, and that would bring in play Racing Victoria and similar bodies in the state and federal governments, the shires, and I think it would be a wonderful community thing, and it would be paying homage, and also the racing industry's got to be seen as an educator, and I don't think that's been done enough, you know. It's terrific having initiatives when ponies are there and kids in the school hold that program and all that sort of stuff. But that's only just scratching the surface. There's so much else to be done, you know.
Mm. Why do you think this has been overlooked by the industry so far? Is there too much focus on the bottom line, the gambling dollar?
You know, the saturation of the corporate bookmakers, the saturation of the gambling dollar, as you say. Everything's about the punt. Everything's about Chris Waller's 888 nominations for next Saturday, 64 best chances, all of that sort of thing. And the other stories. I was at the yearling sales a couple of weeks ago at Melbourne, talking to the president of the breeders, Judge O'Brien. The sixth dam of the Blue Diamond winner was Better Draw. Better Draw was trained by Alan Lynch, by Better Boy. It wasn't really picked up that much and could have been embellished. Gerald Ryan was at the sales. The Tobin family, who bred the horse, they were at the sales on the Sunday. And yet, that was an interview to be done and captured. It really should be done, say, coming up when the sales are on in a few weeks' time again, to make sure Gerald Ryan's there on the table, because it's a way of just demonstrating. And you look at results, and time again, I sent Centane to New Zealand when Victoria's breeders unfortunately didn't want it in the mid-80s, and he became one of the greatest sires over there since the war. He was the grand sire of the top price yearling in New Zealand. You got Done Deal, Jim Ellis over there, to blend in the speed with the stamina. And now Done Deal's doing that. And you could be talking to John Maloney about, you know, his memories. And there are so many stories like that, just different things going beyond the square. And there's great opportunities, I think, to open up what we're doing.
We've got the showdown coming up in Victoria in a few weeks' time. That's a concept I know you're enthusiastic about, and the name Showdown conjures many memories for you.
It certainly does. I started going to Wright Stevenson's sales in 1960, and I joined there in 1970. I had the privilege of working under Mr. Bill Studd, who then became chairman of Mooney Valley, and he was instrumental in purchasing Showdown, and Ken Cox stood the horse, and you had Harry McNamara and Warwick Cayley and other major breeders involved. And he went on to be an incredible sire. And preceding just him was the emergence of Better Boy. So in a period from the late 60s to the early 90s, Victoria was rich in victories with Better Boy, Showdown, Century, and the amount of premierships collectively, that's state and national premierships, broodmare premierships, two-year-old premierships, was incredible. And so it's a very, very important thing. George Smith is still alive as one of the legends of the breeding industry, and his knowledge is incredible. And Ken Cox was a master of marketing, and he was treasurer of the VRC. And, you know, Victoria was front and centre in that time. It was incredible. And all the mayors kept coming into this state, we didn't lose them. So to remember and pay homage to Showdown is certainly a wonderful initiative to have this race, to get people involved. I think it's fantastic that's been commemorated.
You're a very proud Victorian, aren't you, Tony?
I am a very proud racing person, and so having won my first race in town 49 years ago, and bred and raced a lot of the horses and impacted a lot of people's lives. You want to keep evolving, though, and racing has been very interesting for me, because the journey of life is one thing, but the journey of life for medium of racing is quite another. So I do love my racing, and I'm very proud of Victoria.
What were your thoughts around the passing of Redoute's Choice this week?
Well, it was shattering for John Massar. He is the master of marketing and promoting horses and whatnot. A great, very influential person, John Massar. And I actually offered $5 million for a horse on behalf of a client at the time of the Blue Diamond. I thought he was an amazing prospect at the time, and now when you see his legacy, both here and overseas, with his numerous stallions at stud, the sons at stud, his daughters producing, he's one of our immortal stallions, no shadow of doubt about that, and he'll have an everlasting legacy in the breeding scene.
So as far as our conversation around the preservation of the history of racing and the great people that have contributed to the sport across the different areas that are still living today, and what's the next step? Are you going to try and lobby the race clubs and the industry to get behind its own history more, or what are the next steps from our conversation today?
To speak to Racing Victoria, and I think, in a way, I'm doing something which will come out at some stage in the future about Nick Collin in a commemorative situation. But with Mike Willacy and Les Carline, what wasn't picked up in the press, even though they did all the obituaries, but to think both of them were born in June 1942, one at the beginning, one at the end, and both died in March 2019, 4 days apart, the likes of which we will never probably... They're probably two of our greatest, if not the two greatest journalists we've had in different forms. Mike with the television production and everything else, and Les with the written word and the history and everything else. So I'm very much about thinking how, given the timing is everything in life, and sometimes the things are put before you, and you say, how can you put this with that? So I'm thinking in this case, is there something, given Nick also was a journalist, and there's been only two people in my lifetime of both the written or the verbal word, when they put pen to paper or spoke, made racing official and sit up bolt upright, and one was Nick Collin, and the other was Mark Reed, and I had a close association with both. And I think in the search for knowledge, and media and communication and racing and history and all that, if some initiative has emerged out of all this, dying, Nick, Mike and Les were collectively commemorated in an exercise. And I think this whole thing about capturing that information about people and also organisations with race clubs and regions, it's a vast area to tap into. And I think it'll be a wonderful exercise. And you've got to seize the moment. And I think now is the moment. And maybe we link it in with some of the initiatives happening with the Showdown. Could it be a Showdown project, And I want Victoria to lead the way, as we have in the past with administration. And also, we've got to stop the interstate rivalry. We can be competitive. But, one club or one organisation in the States better than the other. We've got to stop all that. We've got to worry about other emerging sports or other factors. They've got to be a combined family. So, so I think let's just see what emerges from this, and I'll be very interested to see what response comes of it, and who might put the hand up, and so let's run with it over the next period of time.
Tony, thanks for talking to us on the program this morning, and good luck with that quest. Anything I can do to help, I certainly will, on the show but also behind the scenes. Lovely to catch up with you, and I'll look forward to seeing you at the track soon.
Thanks very much, Joe. All the best.
Tony Kavanagh, a special guest with us this morning on Talking Horses.